Apologies, I don't know why that happens. All right, hello. Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par XL. It appears as though the Packers are content to just
The game is over.
Well, the game's been over. I just like to be able to give a final score, right?
The final score is going to be 23.
Well, now it appears it's going to be because they appear to be completely unwilling to even bother to throw the ball because Brett Hundley is garbage.
He's so bad.
He's terrible.
Can I just say that coming out of UCLA, I thought that Brett Hundley was going to be a decent quarterback. I believe prior to his last season, I want to say he got hurt. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That sounds right.
Okay, he was projected to be.
Oh, he was an early round pick.
Round pick.
Yeah.
He went, what, fourth, I believe, or
fourth,
fifth.
Fourth or fifth, yeah. I don't...
One or the other, because at the end, I believe he was due to injury.
I had no idea how bad his pocket presence was, though.
We've learned in the past couple of weeks how bad his pocket presence
is. It's atrocious.
Also, Brett Hundley, if you watch him closely, he reminds you of people that don't know how to dance, but that but that count in their head, but then they count out loud.
Oh, I do that.
You ever see?
I do that. Because I'm not. I'm white, Rita. Right.
Glenn.
I'll just be the one to say it. Right.
So
I do that because I'm white. Yeah.
You know how when you dance?
Yeah.
And I could probably watch you dance, and I could say. I can see Glenn
By the way,
counting in his
I got to be honest with you. Your earrings with those headphones, oh, my God, it's the wildest thing I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
So when I watch you and I say, Glenn, I can see you counting the numbers in your head. That's exactly what I look
just
like.
I just count them out loud.
Hundley.
I count them out loud.
Oh, you're terrible.
No, but I do that for our first dance at our wedding with my wife because my wife can't dance either. So I was like, I'm going to help her out. I'm going to help her out here. I'm going to help her out a little bit. All right, it's the Project Game Day postgame show. It is brought to you by Par XL. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. The Ravens do get a 23-0 win over the Packers. And this is one of those goofy, like, yeah, it's a win, hooray, types of moments. But you still, despite the fact that you went in and beat a team 23-0 on the road, you still don't really feel good about this team at all.
This is the third shutout of the year for the Ravens defense, and
right.
We don't feel good about this team. They're 500.
Right.
What does that say to you about the 2017 season?
And I think that's what it speaks to more is the nature of the NFL in 2017.
It's wild.
And this is the Packers that would have been a Super Bowl contender
with Aaron Rodgers. Yes.
That now look like bumbling buffoons without him. I mean, they look like they
can't
do anything.
No, literally, because I hate those jerseys. They're ugly.
Well, yeah, they are awful, too. That's a horrendous jersey. So you have a day in which the Ravens get after the quarterback.
Yes, six sacks.
You have a day in which, for the most part, Joe Flacco's number is going to look very good. You know, like, it's not going to be overwhelming. He's not going to be a big-time yardage guy fantasy-wise.
Yes.
But as far as percentage of passes completed, the numbers are going to look good for Joe Flacco. It's going to look like he had a good day. There's going to be plenty to like. Alex Collins had a pretty good day. There's going to be plenty of things that on paper you're going to like, and yet you're going to come out of the game after a 23-0 win sort of saying, meh.
Yeah.
You know, eh.
Yeah. No, I mean, we learned nothing today. If anything, we've only learned that the Ravens didn't fix anything in the bye week, that offensively they are still inept. Yes, that could have a lot to do with Ronnie Stanley's absence because James Hurst is not a left tackle. He is terrible at left tackle.
He is not good.
He needed a lot of help today. At times he did get it. At times he did not. And so they look like the same offense that we saw the other 9 weeks of the season.
Correct. Correct.
I learned nothing about the Ravens.
And this is, you are really in a part of the season where you can't learn anything about them unless they either lose to a terrible team or beat a good team.
Correct.
That's the only way you can learn anything about these Ravens.
Yes.
They did today what they should have done against a team that started Brett Hundley at quarterback. Brett Hundley sucks.
He's terrible.
And it's why I think coming out of the game, there will be some people that will say, well, they answered one question, Matt Judon, right? They'll say, hey, the Ravens really got after the quarterback. If that
Tim
can
Williams
continue.
As well.
That's all well and good. Brett Hundley is terrible in the pocket.
Yeah. So we don't want to take away from their accomplishment, obviously, because Brett Hundley is mobile. There were times, honestly, he probably
they should do more design runs. They should do more design runs with Brett Hundley.
He found ways. I mean, they got at him all day, and a lot of times he escaped the pressure.
But the problem is he runs into more pressure.
Well, that's,
this is
that's
what makes
thing.
Him so bad,
right.
Is that you can say, hey, he's athletic, he's mobile, he can get around. Instead, he runs right back into more pressure.
So we learned nothing. We still learned nothing. We still think that this is the same team that we saw 2 weeks ago. It really is. It's the same. Because, honestly, Mariota is a better version of Brett Hundley in terms of
much better, yeah.
And you saw what they did with that.
Correct.
So we really learned nothing about today. We learned that the Ravens are still good at defense.
They're capable of beating guys that aren't NFL quarterbacks.
Yes, they're good at defense.
Yeah.
But offensively, they're not going to out-duel anybody.
Even when they're good at defense, I don't know how any of this translates.
You're right.
I have no clue. I know they beat Brett Hundley today.
Yeah.
And Brett Hundley's no good. I think they'll probably beat Tom Savage next week because Savage is no good.
He's no good. They're at home, so they'll have the home fans there. Yeah, I expect a win against the Texans.
But I have no idea how they would do. And part of the thing that we've been doing this past week is looking at how bad the AFC is.
Oh,
looking
horrible.
At the fact that
and the Ravens are right outside of it.
Well, I mean, hell, and the Bills are playing Nathan Peterman today against the Chargers. So who knows what's going to happen in that? That we keep looking at and saying, well, the Bills don't look like they're very good. You know, the only team you can make an argument for of the teams that are below 500 is the Raiders that, with a healthy Derek Carr for the second half of the season, could they string some wins together?
Yes.
I think they could.
Yes,
I think
they could.
They would be my favorite for the final playoff spot in the AFC over the Ravens.
We talked about that earlier today on the Fantasy and Reality Show. KO and I both agreed because out of the Ravens, the Dolphins, and the Raiders, all who are 4-5,
right.
were 4-5,
right.
we believe that the Raiders have the best chance. Now,
and I'll even throw the Bills in there who are currently above 500.
Well, we said that in saying that the Bills won't make it because we looked at the Bills' schedule and we absolutely believe that they can lose at least three games. They play the Patriots twice. I would believe they play the Chiefs in Kansas City, I believe. So they got some. They still got some guys on their schedule that they need to play. And then now they have this rookie quarterback. We agreed and said that we believe that the Raiders would be the best of the 4-5 teams. However, the Ravens have beaten the Raiders and the Dolphins.
Correct. So
they
had
the tiebreaker.
They would get the tiebreaker over those teams. No doubt about that. And the Ravens' schedule is favorable.
Because they play a lot of quarterbacks that are backups and they play rookie quarterbacks.
They had this Brett Hundley, then they'll get Tom Savage next week, provided he's still the quarterback of the Texans. Then after that, they go to Pittsburgh. That one, though, actually, they get the Lions at home first. That's a little bit trickier. Then they go to Pittsburgh. That's obviously the trickiest of what's left. And then it's at Cleveland, home for Indianapolis and Cincinnati. And it looks like those are games that you should win.
Correct.
Now, there's one problem with the Ravens, which is, hey, look, even though they were playing Brett Hundley today and he stinks, I still had no idea they were going to go in there and win because I don't have enough confidence in the Ravens. Now, I should have had more confidence in them because they were coming off a bye because this was the game that they should be set up to win.
Historically, they're good off the
bye. I didn't think Brett Hundley was going to be as bad as he was today. I think I was buying into the idea that maybe a little bit more time to work an offense around him. They still have guys that are pretty good at catching the football. They should figure out something. They haven't figured out anything. He's really bad.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing to them that they wouldn't just go sign Colin Kaepernick and say, we'll be the team to suck it up.
I don't expect them of anybody.
Well, they're not going to, obviously. They're not going to do it. But they were the team that could look at it and say, hey, Aaron Rodgers could maybe come back in week 15. We just need to get by for a few weeks and be in the mix. I get it. You guys aren't going to like this. I get nobody's going to be happy about it, but we're going to do it because once we get Aaron Rodgers back, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback. That's the way it's going to go. And as we've said a million times, I don't know for sure that Colin Kaepernick would have wanted to go there. I don't know that he even wants to play at this point. I couldn't tell you. Although, if you got a collusion lawsuit and the team's trying to sign you, then it's going to be a little bit tricky at that point. All this being said, the Ravens are in the situation that they're in. We still don't think they're very good. We still don't think that they're out of it. It's purgatory. It's purgatory at the highest level, which is I don't think this franchise is going in the right direction. I don't think they've made good decisions. I don't think they have a reasonable 53-man roster together that can go compete for anything. But yet, you're not in a position to fire anybody. You're not in a position to make drastic decisions. Although, in fairness, they did make one drastic decision they could make today in benching Breshad Perriman. That's a drastic decision that you can make in season. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Would you get to a point where you just outright benched Breshad Perriman? I suggested 2 weeks ago that you had to. I was still surprised by the fact that they did it. I was still surprised that they just outright benched him. I would have been more inclined for them to say, all right, we're not going to have him out there for significant snaps, but we'll have him active and available. And this may be just a numbers game situation because he doesn't have a role in special teams. They got players back today like Danny Woodhead who were available to him, and they said, hey, look, man, you don't do anything for us to be able to give you a jersey today. You're not one of our 46 best players, which he's not.
He's not, and unfortunately, on a team that really needs skill players, the Ravens really need skill players badly, for you to get benched says a lot about your play.
It says you're terrible, and they're terrible, or he's terrible.
I wasn't with you 2 weeks ago, obviously. I wasn't here, but after the Titans game, I mean, you had to have said this is enough.
You couldn't continue to allow balls thrown his way to end up being interceptions.
I mean, in his hand, not even the interception. The following series, he gets the ball, should have been a first down. He just drops.
Yep.
At this point, I don't know what's up with him. I don't know if he needs to see a sports psychologist. I don't know if he just needs extra practice. But something's going on.
The NFL just might not work for him.
Right. Or the NFL just isn't – it hasn't panned out because you just haven't fully – transpired to the NFL's
game. There've been plenty of guys that were picked around that range that are just not NFL players.
Absolutely.
That are fast,
yes.
That are – it's a shame, I think about a Cordero Patterson who's been able to impact the game as a returner.
Yeah.
Maybe Rashad Perriman could become a returner and his speed could help. But the problem is you have to catch the football in order to become
a
returner.
That ain't happening.
I don't know, but right now it just doesn't look like it helped. And the Ravens made a drastic decision. That's tough for a franchise that's invested a first-round pick and has decided to make him a football player, to make decisions based around the idea that Rashad Perriman should be able to help, to then turn around and say, nah, we're not going to even have you on the field. That's tough. I don't think people respect fully how difficult it is for an organization to do something like that, and yet they did it. So I give them credit.
Yeah.
The one drastic decision they could make in season,
they did
make.
Yep.
So I give them credit for that and for doing that. Moving forward, I don't know how that's going to look. There was word from Ian Rappaport that this was a let's see how he handles it. Let's see how he practices. I think they certainly still want to see something from Rashad Perriman.
Absolutely.
But I also don't know if you're Joe Flacco how you could be okay with them saying we're going to let him go back out there and we're going to try to run design plays that involve Rashad Perriman. How are you throwing him the ball and feeling anything other than utter fear that disaster is about to strike?
Well, I do think that you still have to try to find a way to get some confidence in him and throw the ball his way. I know that we're ready to give up on him. I get it, because I am too. However, the season is not over yet. I'm not going to ignore the fact that he did not play his entire rookie season. So this is technically his second season because his first season was last year.
And I think that would be enough for me to give him a pass if he was struggling. He's not struggling. He looks lost.
No, I agree with
yeah.
you. But I'm saying that you have to play the season out and see how it goes, because he is on your roster. He's a first-round draft pick. I think that three seasons is where you have to figure out where do you want to go after the third. And so some people pick it up right away. Some people don't. He's struggling. I am completely fine with him being benched. I am.
Yeah.
What the Ravens are hoping, I'm assuming, I'm just guessing.
Is it that some sort of wake-up call?
This is a wake-up call for
right.
him saying, hey, we know we drafted you in the first round, but you're not doing anything.
Correct.
So you need to sit this one out. Maybe this spark something up underneath you and say, okay, I really got to get this done because my job is in jeopardy.
Right.
I could potentially not be an NFL player. And if he really wants it, maybe he goes out and does something different. Things can change. So what I'm saying is that I'm not sure what they do from here on next week. I'm not sure what happens from here, but I think at least for the 2017 season.
Well, the reality is they're playing with two wide receivers in the meantime.
Exactly. I mean, Chris Moore is there, but they don't use him as
correct.
A wide receiver. He's on special teams.
Correct.
Campanaro's there, but you know.
In fairness, part of the issue today is they didn't have Ronnie Stanley,
correct.
And so plays were not given enough
right.
time to develop.
Exactly.
Everything
so
was
we
underneath.
Have to give them that. But I do think that going down the stretch, you do have to still try to get him the ball, and because you need to know for sure if you're going to let this guy go.
No, I hear you. I hear you, and I right now, I don't know even if he performed. I wrote about this at PressBoxOnline.com. I did a thing, five storylines for the second half of the season, and one of the big ones was exactly this, which is, do you just outright bench Rashad Perriman? And if he plays and he does something, what do you make of that?
Yeah.
Do you allow that to be what makes you say, okay, here's the reason why we still got to include him in the plans for next year, or do you have to ignore it and say, we have way too much evidence of this to buy into the little bit of evidence we have of this. I do think that's a fascinating storyline for the rest of the year for the Baltimore Ravens, is how they handle Breshad Perriman, because it is difficult to just outright abandon anyone you pick in the first round.
It is.
It's very difficult to do.
And that's why I say you got to do – that's why I say I think you got to go three full years. This would make the third full year.
Right.
Although
– let's never forget, by the way, Kyle Bowler would have still been this team's quarterback if if he hadn't gotten hurt. In that build-up to the season in 2008.
Yes, that's correct.
He would have still gotten another opportunity to be the starting quarterback of the football team just because he was a former first-round pick.
Yep.
Not because he was worthy of it, not because he had ever done anything that suggested he should have been the quarterback. He would have gotten one more shot at being the quarterback just because he had been a first-round pick that season.
Absolutely. I just think and that was, what, six seasons later?
Yes.
So,
yeah, essentially,
So I don't think saying, hey, we got to at least run this one out and see what happens is too much to ask.
I think that for a lot of people, it's tricky because anything that he does, you're assuming it's fool's gold.
Yes.
And so you almost just don't want him out there to do anything because you don't want to leave the franchise in any position where they say, okay, this is why we're going to build around Breshad Perriman next year, only for him to go right back to being the guy that we've seen for the better part of these last two seasons.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question. This is I'm not surprised by the reaction that we're getting to this, but I don't think anybody right now has any idea of what to say other than, okay, that was a win. Like, I just – the emotions at halftime when it was only a 6-0 game were strong. The fact that the Ravens looked good enough in the second half that they were able to extend the game out to 23-0, I just feel like people are very much blasé about everything.
Well, because they had three turnovers and they only got 3 points out of it in the first half.
Yeah, that
was
a mess.
So it's blasé because you should have been – skull dragging this team. Well,
correct.
At that
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
And they weren't able to do
but
that.
But I don't think at the end of the game people are angry about it because why would you
be
angry
with
about
a loss?
Nothing
I mean, with
win.
A win, right?
But you're not super excited about it either.
No.
There's just no way to be particularly excited about.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're not good.
They're not good. I'm going to ask a question. And I want you to think through this because I need 30 seconds to tell everybody about the U.S. Army. The question I'm asking is, do you almost fear the Ravens making the playoffs this season?
Yes, I do.
I got it. 30 seconds to talk about the Army, Rita.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
All right. I'm going to let you come back in, and I'm going to let you tell me more about that thought.
I'm sorry. Blame the Ravens.
You're bad. We'll talk more about it next.
God.
30 seconds. Rita just steps all over my setup.
I'm sorry.
All right. We'll be right back.
What we do with our lives defines us, so consider a path that gives you an array of opportunities for your future. The U.S. Army gives you skills and experiences that make you a well-rounded person. With many ways to serve that align with your goals, you'll become a stronger individual. Find out more at GoArmy.com.
You may qualify for up to a $40,000 signing bonus. Start your future today at www.goarmy.com/football.
There's strong, then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
All right, we're reacting to the end of the Giants-Chiefs games. The Chiefs are going to lose to the Giants.
that's the football season, particularly the AFC.
Although, really, we were talking about this off the air. This could be the day that allows them to go to Pat Mahomes.
This
could be the day that
well, there was people in my mentions saying, no, Alex Smith is top five. And listen.
He's had a great season.
I do not deny that Alex Smith has been very good, but the last couple of weeks they've been humbled offensively. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I just know what I've seen them do. And you can't deny that the Chiefs have not been as explosive as they were the first six games of the season.
Factual. Let me get to some of the responses that have come in.
Okay, on the Ravens.
On the Ravens. I apologize, I've been ignoring him. Our girl Mick, Ravens really don't really know when to give up on a draft pick and when to keep them. They abandoned Arthur Brown, right? They had no problem doing that a couple years ago when he just wasn't contributing. I think it goes back to abandoning a pick is a good thing to do when it's not working. But how many picks have they had in the last 5 years that you've needed to abandon?
Yeah.
And that's the far more alarming part.
Yeah, that's true.
Greg, Green Bay is a horrible team, but I'll take the win. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's sort of the point that we're making is that, look, we don't.
Like, we're bad, but they're worse.
Green Bay with Brett Hundley is terrible. I don't think this is really about Green Bay. I think if they were getting reasonable quarterback play, I'm trying to think of a guy that they could. I think if Joe Flacco was in Green Bay, they'd be a very functional team.
But what I'm saying is that that's out of 22 guys on each, like 11 on each side, one guy making a huge difference like that really kind of speaks volumes about the makeup of your team overall. They're
right,
just
I
not that good.
I hear you.
And so, yes, Aaron Rodgers is one of my favorite players, my favorite all-time players. I can say this. I love Aaron Rodgers. I think that he is phenomenal and that very few people can do what Aaron Rodgers has
done. One of the most talented. He might very well be the most talented quarterback to have ever. I mean, all-around talent have ever played.
But the problem with that is that Green Bay knew that too, and that's how they built that team
around him. That's true. And that's the offense that Mike McCarthy has had. Right, absolutely. Paul, I absolutely fear the Ravens' record, validating the front office and owner saying it'll be status quo for next season and use the offensive line injuries and returns for next season as reasons for hope again. We'll talk more about that in a second. He just says to follow up on that, there are major personnel management issues within the organization, amongst other things. I still don't care for the coordinators either, but they probably aren't going unless Harbs goes too.
Yep.
From Man Johnson, I always love Man Johnson. I don't give the Ravens any credit. Anybody with a brain would have benched Perryman. Oh, he's talking about specifically about Perryman. I would have benched him weeks ago. Man's always tough
on
them.
He is not here for us.
He is always tough on them,
right? He is not here for it.
He's particularly tough on Flacco. Brian Powell points out, is it really overtime in New Orleans after they were up 2 touchdowns
late? Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Mick, Aaron Rodgers can make a mediocre team look great. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is...
Well, they are, but that's my point. They are mediocre without him.
But
that's my point.
I genuinely believe that they had a... Even somebody that wasn't Aaron Rodgers, but was a reasonable NFL quarterback, they would be...
Better.
Correct.
They wouldn't have lost
their last five. Right.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is... And Joe Flacco's... That's an unfair... Even if it was... Ugh.
It ain't that many. I'm sorry.
Maybe. If A.J. McCarron was the quarterback of the Packers, I think they'd look like a competent NFL team. I think Brett Hundley's really bad. I don't think we realized how bad Brett Hundley is. He's really, really bad.
He's really bad.
Giants
just won.
That is really bad, too. Speaking of really bad, the Chiefs all of a sudden. What the hell? Greg, just look at the remaining schedule. Looks like we may be a playoff team. And that's what Reed and I were talking about earlier on, and that gets us to the question that you screwed up before the break.
I'm sorry. I was so upset with that question.
My question, when you look at the schedule, when you look at how things are falling together for the Ravens, is there a part of you that fears them making the playoffs? Because of what we alluded to, because what Paul was talking about. I'm going to get to you, Rita. I'm going to get to you. Because you don't believe they're good enough to do anything. You believe they'd be making the playoffs a la those Texans-Bengals games of the last few years, right? Where, like, ceremoniously, you're in the playoffs. Like, hey, congratulations, you got to say you were a playoff team this year. But the truth is that you don't really belong there. It has way more to do with how bad everybody else was, and what it allows the franchise to do is to think that everything's fine, not truly fix the holes that this organization faces, and it ends up being nothing more than window dressing. Now go!
Is it my turn?
Yes, Rita, I'm calling on you.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I know that there's people out here that thinks if we get into the dance that it's the slate is clean and there's a chance.
Right.
This is not a good football team, guys. This is not a good football team. We talked about the Packers and how they're not good, and you saw the damage that they did on the defensive line front against this offensive line. Do you really want to see that against better teams in the playoffs? Do you? Because I don't. I don't want to see it.
Right.
I'd much rather. I don't.
I'm trying. By the way, I'm doing the math of who the number 3 seed would be right now. It would be the Titans.
It would be. No, it would not. We looked at this earlier. It would be the Jaguars.
Okay. So
the Jaguars is the 3 seed. The Chiefs is the 4 seed. And then Titans and Bills.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, guys. I don't want playoffs because I don't want the administration saying, okay.
Well, look,
that bad. We're a playoff team. Now, do you want it just so you can break the streak? Because they haven't been since 2014. I mean, that's fine. But what's going to happen is we're going to get a draft pick somewhere in the 20s, and all the good talent is going to be gone because the Ravens got a lot of needs. I don't know if you know this. The Ravens have a lot of needs.
Yeah, I noticed.
And they're going to find, they're going to have to get some talent later on in the 20s. We know they don't draft, go up to the draft. They don't do it. They don't trade up to get anybody. So, no, I'm sorry. I don't, they're not good. I'd much rather you just not be good, wait for those guys, all those guys that you have on IR to come back, get some draft picks, and get some skilled players in the draft this year, guys.
Right.
And be a better team next year. What's going, if they go to the playoffs, okay, that's nice. They're going to be one and done. They're going to be one and done.
Well, and I agree with you. I feel like the way to go about this is to say, hey, look, if for some reason today was a sign of Matt Judon, the young pass rushers coming on, that the second half of the season, those guys, that Matt Judon, this is his moment, right? And he's this guy the rest of the year. And if somehow with Ronnie Stanley back next week, the offense can come to life. Like, you can start painting the picture for yourself where you say, all right, yeah, you know what? Maybe they would have a chance to go beat a team like Jacksonville in the playoffs.
Oh,
and
okay.
Maybe they would have a chance to go beat a team like the Steelers. Something along those lines,
The Steelers
right?
is more realistic because that's who you play twice a year. The Ravens
right, you always
beat the
feel as though you have a
literally
chance,
yeah. The Ravens beat the Steelers with Ryan Mallett two
that
years ago.
That did happen.
And
that did happen when
really
they were horrendous. And Ryan Mallett had been on the team for like a week.
And so it's not unlikely that the Ravens could beat the Steelers. They know each other very well.
Right.
The problem is that they're not good. This is not like we literally just talked about Green Bay and how we don't understand or know how good this defense is because of Brett Hundley. We literally just said that.
Yes.
How do I know if the defense up front, if Matt Judon and Tim Williams and Za'Darius Smith really turned a corner today? I simply don't know.
I don't disagree with that.
The other thing about that is the guys that they play in the coming weeks. You play Tom Savage, and you play my guy from Cleveland.
Oh, Deshaun Kizer.
Deshaun Kizer. And you play, I mean, you play guys that are, you still, once you play them, you're still not really going to know because those guys aren't really that good. So I fully expect the Ravens to piss me off and find a way to get in the playoffs or at least be in the hunt come week 16.
And this is almost what I'd say. I guess my response would be, if you're going to be about 8-8, you might as well go 9-7 to make the playoffs because the difference between 8-8 and 9-7, it's not going to be that much as far as draft pick is concerned. You might as well go ahead, get in, and see what you can do, right? Like, you're better off.
Are you confident that they can go in and do anything,
honestly? No, not at all. But what I'm saying is, if you're just going to be 8-8 anyway, if that's the difference, if your options are, in one scenario, you're going to go 8-8, right? Like, and I'm, by the way, it's really hard to find three losses. It's hard to find a third loss on the schedule
right
now.
It's the Ravens. They'll figure it out.
And that's probably true, mm-hmm. right? So it's still probably the most likely scenario. I think you look at the Steelers and you say that's, you know, you don't feel like good at all about going to Pittsburgh. You could see them losing the Lions at home. Although, again, I could also see them beating the Lions
because
the Lions aren't all that great.
The Lions literally went toe-to-toe against Cleveland, what was it, last week?
Yeah, so tried to lose the Browns, right.
They did. But then
it just gets tougher and tougher to even see two losses on the schedule, right? Like, it gets tougher and tougher to see that. You start doing the math, you're like, who are you losing to? Again, I'm with you. The Ravens are bad enough that they're going to lose a game that you don't expect them to lose. I don't disagree with that. At some point, you're going to think that the game in Baltimore against Cincinnati is a cakewalk, but for some reason, Andy Dalton starts fearing his job, thinks that A.J. McCarron's going to replace him next season for some reason, and decides that's going to be the day where he's going to come to life, right? Or they decide to bench Andy Dalton. Let's see what we have. Let's showcase A.J. McCarron at the end of the year to try to get some trade value up for him, and A.J. McCarron plays the game of his life and somehow beats the Ravens in Baltimore. I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, that the Ravens are so wildly inconsistent and not good that they could inexplicably lose a game. But when you look at this schedule, you say to yourself, like, I don't see it. I don't see how they're going to lose these games.
Yeah.
So if that's the case and they're going to go to the playoffs, okay, they're going to go. I think the problem is that literally we're getting to a point where we think the problems are so much bigger than that, that a playoff trip masks that and makes you feel as though you're better.
Well, that's that. Okay. To clarify.
I'm glad that he's watching right now because my buddy John Colson, who is the man in charge of all things here at PressBox, always hates these things.
Yes,
he does. He's a super fan in these situations.
Yes, he does.
Says, I think this logic is horrible. If the Ravens barely miss the playoffs, do you really think it would alter what they do substantially compared to if they go one and done in the playoffs? Going to the playoffs is good for the psyche of the team and the fans. Wishing for losses is just something people do to stir the pot.
No, John.
Ask the Bengals the last few years how much it's meant to them to go to the playoffs. Ask their fan base if it's
Super
helped
Bowl
them
ring.
At all to just get to the playoffs. That's nonsense.
Well, let me tell you why. Let me give you another perspective of this, okay? And I think someone already alluded to this. I'm just going to emphasize their point is that if you go to the playoffs, the Ravens think there's nothing wrong.
Right. That's the point.
The point is that there are things wrong here, both from a personnel perspective and a coaching perspective. Playoffs gives you a pat on the back because we made it.
Right.
We were one of six teams.
And you could probably play a good team close. That's the other thing, dude. Hey, look, you go to Jacksonville. It comes down to a play at the end of the game. You lose. You could argue, hey, if we would have won that game, we would have had a chance. There's all those things you can start doing.
Right. So I get why people wanting to go to the playoff. Like, I get it, right? Because as a fan, that's what you want.
Right, that's
you
the
want
point
your
of
team.
Doing this.
That's the whole point of doing this. And like you said, the Ravens, based on the schedule, have a very good chance of doing
so. It is really hard to
start
figuring out.
That being said, it gives a lot of false confidence and says, once again, well, the things that we need to change are minor. No, that's not true. You need to change a few things. And a lot of it is in-house, meaning potentially front office and or coaching. It's beyond personnel at this point. We talk about Marty Morningwig and how we don't like his game plan and how we don't like this, that, and the third. Everybody's talking about they want Greg Roman. Has that changed for you now because they won a football game today against a really bad team?
Right. Do you think
of
all of a sudden
not.
Marty Morningwig is a qualified offensive coordinator?
On third and short, you do a pitch play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that if the Ravens go to the playoffs, you would feel a little bit better about how things are run? Come on now.
I'm with you.
Come on.
Responses. Paul says, I agree. It helps the psyche if it was a new regime getting started making the playoffs.
I agree with that.
If you have a new, just getting to the playoffs changes things. If it's the same deal, I don't think that's the case. John Colson followed up by saying it's nonsense to compare to the Ravens, the Bengals in any way. Maybe it used to be. Maybe it used to be. I don't know what world you're living in right now.
It's all murky
in fact,
at this point.
The higher end talent is on Cincinnati's roster.
Big time.
The Ravens don't have anything like an AJ Green.
Big time. Or Joe Mixon for that matter.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think Joe Mixon is more talented than Alex Collins, but I think if you look at the two of them and what they've done this season.
Yes, what Alex Collins has done, but Joe Mixon is just starting to get some play time.
I agree with that.
But Joe Mixon coming out of college was very high coveted. He's going to be an impact player to them, they expect. So that's the difference, is that Alex Collins is an undrafted guy. This guy was drafted pretty high.
Right.
And has high expectations.
Well, he would have been drafted really high. He wasn't because...
Well, he was drafted.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't drafted very high because of other things. There's obviously a reason for that. But no.
But projective-wise, first-round draft.
And even I would even argue that a healthy Tyler Eifert is better than anything the Ravens have.
Yes.
All that. Now, they appear to have wasted a pick on John Ross. That appears to be a completely wasted pick in Cincinnati. All that being said, this world in which Baltimore is just so much better than Cincinnati because they used to be, that doesn't exist anymore. They're better this season because their record says they're better this season.
Yes.
And I think they should have fired Marvin Lewis a long time ago. And truthfully, I'd far rather have Joe Flacco than Andy Dalton as my quarterback. But give me some A.J. Green. Give me that. I'll take my chances in that world. The Ravens have nothing like that. Really quickly from Michael, it says the defense is really balling, though. Or he says the defense is playing, though. Yeah, I mean, fine. Like, again, I don't know what you're taking from today and playing Brett Hundley that makes you say the defense can do this when they go up against Ben Roethlisberger. The defense could do this if they were to face Tom Brady in the playoffs. The defense is doing this, and they could do it against even Mark. You saw them play Marcus Mariota 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's the same defense that faced the Titans 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Do you think the defense just got so much magically better over the course of the bye week?
Nope.
Or do you think that it had a lot to do with Brett Hundley being being over there?
Yes, it did.
I think it had a lot to do with Brett Hundley being over there. From Richard. New Orleans won. Holy crap. That's a terrible
that's
loss
awesome.
To the Redskins. That's really
awesome.
Bad.
That's a good,
yeah, it's hard.
A
I don't
great
feel,
day for
I don't
me.
Feel bad for them at
nope.
all. I don't feel bad for them at all. And then Colson followed up to say, but yet Cincinnati still loses. And again, check the Ravens' record since winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it ain't good.
They lose two.
They ain't good.
Correct.
They ain't good.
That's the reality that faces this franchise, that you can continue to live off the idea that Baltimore's just better because they've got Ozzie Newsome or because they've got...
We can't do that anymore.
It's not there.
We can look at the last few drafts and say, no.
Correct. Correct. And so that's why we're asking the question. It's not for stirring the pot. It's because, legitimately, I think there is a feeling in this fan base of... I think there are people that are such rabid fans... that no matter what, they believe this team can win every game, and they will be excited. And I do think that even a part of the people that are questioning would be excited for a playoff game, because when you get to the playoffs, there's only so many teams playing, and it's nice for your team. You're going to watch the games anyway. You're going to enjoy it more if your team's involved than if you have a chance to win, right?
Yes,
like that's the feeling that you have. But I do think there's a significant percentage of the fan base that's going to sit back and say, I think this organization faces real problems. They have not stockpiled the roster with talent. Instead, this year, a team that probably should have been 6-10, 5-11, was able to sneak to 8-9 wins because they got the major fortune of facing today Brett Hundley instead of facing Aaron Rodgers, of facing Tom Savage instead of facing Deshaun Watson.
Kizer.
Oh, you mean that they got to play two games against Deshaun Kizer.
They get to play two games.
Their situation led them to the record that they have.
Not the fact that they're actually,
they didn't even have to face Jay Cutler, right?
That's right. They played Matt Moore. Sorry.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Right? Like that they just got the fortune of this slew of injuries to other teams, and particularly the quarterback position, that line things up for the Ravens to suddenly wake up and say, hey, look, we had 9-10 wins.
Yep.
Holy crap, we're really good, right?
No, we're pretty average.
How'd you do when you played the quarterbacks that were supposed to be starting quarterbacks this season? How'd you do in those games?
Yep.
How'd you do when you played those teams?
Yep.
And I think that's a better indication of who this team is. Let me get one or two more, then we got to go. From Paul, the most exciting part of a Ravens win nowadays is seeing what the bowl of ice cream looks like that Eric Weddle tweets out.
He's not lying.
And Greg, and this is something we talked about a lot throughout the course of the season, the strength of Flacco is his arm strength, but how often is it on display, check down king?
Well, today
it's very difficult to judge anything because they had no offensive line today.
And so his second read had to be the check down because he didn't have time to let his second and third guys get open. I mean, he literally had no time today.
What a hell of a throw to Mike Wallace on the touchdown.
That was an excellent throw.
Drop that in the bucket.
So I'll give him the pass for today in terms of doing that, because you got to kind of get that ball out of your hands. So I actually commend Flacco. There was a couple of times he was probably going to take the sack, got the ball out of his hands. He just didn't have time today. But, yes, I agree with you that for the most part, we know that Flacco throws the ball down the field,
and yet they find ways to not do that. All of the conversation we had about Marty Morningweg and why in the world did you ever have a West Coast offense when whatever your feelings are about Joe Flacco, I can't say this enough. People think that I'm a Joe Flacco homer. I go to bat for him. I don't really. I think that people are unreasonable in how they look at Joe Flacco.
I agree.
I think they're insane in how they look at Joe Flacco.
I agree.
And so I try to bring back to reality. This isn't really me defending Joe Flacco.
It's just you making sense.
That's what I'm hoping, anyway. In a world in which, whatever you think of Joe Flacco, whatever your feelings are, the one indisputable fact about Joe Flacco is that he's got this rifle of an arm. He has this cannon of an arm that he has to work with. If you think that he makes bad decisions, I'm not even going to argue with any of those other things.
Because he
does. That's fine. Whatever
the interception today was a bad decision.
Whatever your other opinions are of Joe Flacco, you have the right to all of those opinions.
Yeah.
The one thing that can't be debated, inarguable, is his arm strength.
There's two things that can't be debated, I think.
Okay.
The second thing that can't be debated, in my opinion, is that this organization has not done enough.
And that's fine. That's unique.
That's outside of Joe Flacco.
I'm looking at him individually.
Okay.
Whatever you think of Joe Flacco, the one thing that's inarguable is the arm strength. And yet you put him in a West Coast offense. Whoever thought that was a good idea? Like, whoever said, oh, that makes sense. That's something we should do. And then you signed up for another year of it.
Yep.
You signed up to say, well, let's go back for another year of Marty Morningweg's offense with Joe Flacco. And you hear him. Like, listen to him talk at a podium. You think that he doesn't know that this is a joke? He's trying to tell you how he feels about it, short of saying we should fire the guy that's calling the plays and try something else here.
Yep.
Joe knows. He knows what he's doing. It's insane.
I this is what we're going to deal with for the rest of the season, unfortunately.
All right, 30 more seconds. Tell everybody about Par Excel. Then we come back. We'll really quickly set up for Houston. All right, then we'll wrap up. It's the Project Game Day postgame show. It's brought to you by Par Excel.
The Par Excel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, real quick, let me respond to a couple more things. From Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Ravens' defense was ranked fourth in the league before coming in this week, and after today, I'm sure they moved up. He's trying to defend what he's saying about the Ravens' defense balling. I think they were sixth, but the defensive statistics, remember, they were top 10 defense a year ago.
Yeah, they were.
How'd that help them in Pittsburgh?
And they said that they needed to fix things as a top 10 defense last year.
Right, they went out and they spent more money on the defense. But again, what I'm saying is that the statistical look at a defense, one, the number that you're actually looking at, those teams are all bunched together.
Yes.
You happen to be slightly above those other teams, and that part of what determines that is the fact that, as we just alluded to, who have you played this season?
Yes.
Have you played qualified NFL starting quarterbacks, or has the schedule been favorable to you to allow you the opportunity to play against worse quarterbacks, and that's helped you pad statistics?
Yes.
That, to me, is part of that story. I don't know that I can feel as though this is a great defense, which is what they had to be, because that's where they put all the investment, was that on that side of the ball. They had to be a great, historical, shut-down-everybody type of defense. They've been a good defense that has had great days when they played certain teams.
So I'm just thinking about this. I'm thinking about this, and I'm realizing that the Ravens, minus Andy Dalton, who they play every year, the Ravens have beaten DeShone Kizer, E.J. Manuel, Matt Moore, and Brent Huntley.
That's what they've
done. Come on, y'all. Come on, man.
That's what they've done.
These are not starters.
They're not qualified NFL quarterbacks.
Minus Andy Dalton, and that's debatable.
He is. That's their one win. Their one win this season over a qualified NFL quarterback has come against Andy Dalton.
One.
At the beginning of the year.
Yes. So
they
come
have
on.
One win over
and
a qualified.
And that's just to put things into perspective here. I'm just trying to put things into perspective. The other times that they played.
I think it's what makes this season more embarrassing is that you've played all these guys and yet you're still only 5-5.
Yep.
Everything has broken your way this year as far as the schedule is concerned. I get it. The injuries,
all you did was break even.
The injuries have gone the other way. Like, nothing's broken your way on the injury front.
Yes.
But everything has broken your way as far as the schedule is concerned, and all you have to show for it is that you're mediocre. Yeah. That's what you've got to show for it.
I'm sure someone will find a silver lining in that. I mean, because they do have a lot of injuries, a lot of guys on IR. I'm just not going to be the one to do it.
Fair, right?
I'm just not going to be the one to do it. And next week we get to play another backup quarterback in Tom Savage. So this should be some real fun stuff.
By the way that defenses are ranked is by yards.
Yeah, but I don't go by – I typically don't go by total yards.
I agree. And I think it's a dumb way to rank it because scoring, I think, is far more important. But that's the way that they officially – when they say number one ranked defense.
Yes,
number,
it's total yards.
Coming into today, they were indeed the number six ranked defense.
And yards given up, yes.
And yards given up, correct. As far as points per game are concerned, they were the number, and that's a little bit worse, but not that much. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They are the 8th ranked defense in points per game.
Okay.
So those are two, you know, again, top 10. They were top 10 a year ago.
They were.
When they went to Pittsburgh, it didn't help them at all because they had to face a qualified NFL offense.
Yep.
Monday Night Football next week, they face the Texans. We expect it to be more of the same.
Yeah.
We expect something similar, right?
More mediocre.
Correct. Another game where
mediocrity.
Right, yeah, very good. a game where it's difficult to watch, but there's no excuse if they lose that game at home to presumably Tom Savage.
Yep.
I guess they could go to, who is it, Matt McGloin that ended up being the backup there?
Yeah.
I guess they could go to him, but there's no reason to think that that would be any different.
Nope.
There's only the reason to think that it would be embarrassing to lose that game.
Yep.
Same deal. Rita, you're on Twitter.
Of course, at the NFL Chick.
And, of course, every Sunday morning, you, KZ, and Kyle Ottenheimer for the Fantasy and Reality Football Show, PressBoxOnline.com/radio. I'm back with you tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio, 10 to noon. Glenn Clark Radio is my Twitter account as well. Give me a follow there. Thank you for participating. Appreciate it. Had a lot of fun as always. We will be back next Monday night. We got a late night next Monday night.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to be so tired.
No, so sorry. We'll be back with you again. Hopefully, it'll be like the last one. And the Ravens are up by 100, and we can start the show somewhere in the third quarter. Hopefully, that'll be how next Monday night goes.
Y'all know I'm washed, and they want us to do these Monday night games.
Plus, think about how much food you're going to eat over the course of the next.
I'm still going to be in a coma.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a rough night. Ugh. It's going to be a rough night. But we will see you for Project Game Day next Monday night. It's all brought to you by Par Excel. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week. Ravens win 23-0.